Comedian Bill Cosby was released from prison last week after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court found that his right to due process was violated. In the majority ruling, the justices on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said that statements Cosby made during testimony in a civil case regarding allegations of sexual assault were later used in a criminal trial. And this was after District Attorney Bill Caster said publicly that he would not prosecute prior to that civil case. It is a little bit confusing, and of course, we will learn the ins and outs. But the court argued that even though Caster never had a formal immunity agreement with Cosby, his public declaration that he would not pursue a criminal case, combined with the use of self-incriminating statements that Cosby made, amounted to basically a formal immunity agreement. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What did you think about last week's news? What questions do you have about the ruling? Do you agree or disagree with the decision? We want to hear why at 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Here to help us understand this complicated case is Jody Madeira. She is a professor at the Indiana University Maurer School of Law. Jody, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So we kind of gave an overview in our intro about what really kind of went down here with this decision, but can you just more expertly explain what happened?
Sure. The quick version is that you had this prosecutor named Bruce Caster, who in 2005 never reached a formal agreement with Cosby, but basically promised, you know, I'm not going to try you, and sent out a press release to that effect. Nothing was ever reduced to writing. He never got a judge to approve the prosecution's decision not to charge Cosby as Pennsylvania law requires. And then Cosby dished in depositions, four depositions, you know, gave lots of details about how he used drugs to then, you know, incapacitate women that he then, you know, perpetrated sexual assaults, sexual crimes upon. And, you know, in fact, then settled a case brought by Andrea Constand for, you know, millions of dollars in part on these depositions. And it's confusing because these depositions were given in a criminal context, but then Andrea Constand, you know, later used them in a civil case against Cosby. And of course, you know, that's what prompted Cosby to then settle the case.
So basically, kind of what it sounds like Bill Caster did was say, you know, we're not going to pursue this. But from what I've also read, he kind of opened the door for Constand to get justice in a civil case in some ways, but it feels like it kind of just didn't work. You know, how do we see cases like this happen? Like, is this a common thing for, you know, DAs to pursue? Is there something that I'm missing here?
No, I don't think you're missing something at all. I think this is very rare, very unusual. And in fact, you know, Constand had, of course, you know, brought these allegations to the prosecutor. The prosecutor had investigated for a month, and it's hard to know what or why he didn't believe that he had enough evidence, you know. But that's what the press release says. Usually, these types of agreements are basically to get one person to flip on other potential criminal defendants, and they agree not to prosecute one person again, so they can get evidence against, you know, people who may have been responsible for more serious offenses. But again, you know, it's interesting that this promise also bound, you know, Furman, Risa Vetri Furman, who, of course, reopened the Cosby investigation in 2015.
One of the things that has come up a lot, you know, legal writers, legal experts have said, we don't like how this happened, but basically the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made the right call that Cosby's due process was violated. So first, really basically, can you explain really what due process is?
Sure. And it's not so much a due process of law. I mean, so there's two things that are going on here. First of all, due process of law means that, you know, if you promise not to basically charge someone with a crime, you can't go back on that promise, you know. And of course, Cosby relied upon Caster's promise and just gave up all of these incriminating details that he never would have given up without this deal. But there's also, you know, I think just the basic principle of contract law. you know, that, and we sign contracts all the time, right? We, someone makes us an offer, we accept the offer, and usually there's consideration, you know, I may pay money for a certain right. Well, here the consideration was that Cosby gave up all of these incriminating details. And then later on, you know, he relied on that promise to his detriment. And this is a really key fact, I think, you know, to understand what happened in Commonwealth versus Cosby. When he actually gave those depositions with all of those incriminating details about how he treated women, that was the fact, you know, that was because of Castor's promise. That is what barred the prosecution from later, you know, sort of reneging on this deal and trying to prosecute him again.
We are talking to Jody Madeira right now. She is a professor at the Indiana University Maurer School of Law, and she's with us to talk about the recent release of Bill Cosby. Now, one thing we had briefly sort of touched on is that people might not have liked the decision, but that legally it might have been the right call. I guess in the court of public opinion for legal scholars, how do you, I guess, drive the point home that you may not, this might not feel right, maybe morally or otherwise, but technically is right in the eyes of the law?
Yes. And I think, you know, you look upon like the Cosby case as one tree in a forest, right? And the forest, in order for the forest to be healthy and safe, you know, it has to have certain qualities. It has to have good soil. It has to have, you know, temperate conditions. It has to have the right plants growing in that soil. It has to have the right animals that will then, you know, help this forest eco structure maintain itself. And if one tree starts dying, you know, if one tree gets this, you know, really horrible disease, it could spread to other trees. And before you know it, you wouldn't have a forest. And that might be not the best metaphor, but I think, you know, if you fail to have justice in one case, it can undermine legal accountability in many cases. And there have been a lot of people who say, well, now women are not going to bring their cases forward, you know, because they're going to be afraid that, you know, the same result will obtain. Well, Constand actually, you know, got a civil settlement of millions of dollars. Justice was had in one sphere of the law, you know, and in another, Cosby was convicted. This has actually nothing to do with whether or not he is innocent. It is everything to do with really the mistake that a subsequent prosecutor made, you know, and to be truthful, I don't think the law in Pennsylvania was that ironed out about how far one prosecutor's promise, you know, could burden another prosecutor if it wasn't reduced to writing and never approved by a judge.
And I want to hit on something that you kind of, that you just alluded to, which is this decision, even though probably many people had this reaction of, oh gosh, like he's free, that must mean that he's not guilty. This doesn't exonerate him, correct?
That is correct. And, you know, in fact, that's one of the most frustrating things, you know, and I'm frustrated by this decision as much as anyone else. It doesn't taste very good, even though I know it's, you know, the right decision legally. You know, Cosby's been sort of crowing about this in the media, about this, you know, proving his innocence and things like that. It has nothing to do with his innocence. And in fact, I would very much doubt, you know, from the 59 other women out there, plus Constand, that he is in fact innocent. You know, he himself has told us that he is not. So I wish he would sort of stay in his lane and be more honest.
I am talking right now to Indiana University law professor Jody Madeira about the release of Bill Cosby after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said his right to due process was violated. A bit of a recap. Bill Cosby was in prison for sexually assaulting a number of women throughout his career. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. And one thing you said right before we went to the break was that, you know, there are 59 other women who allege that Bill Cosby assaulted them and that, you know, he drugged them all under the guise of, you know, professional, you know, getting ahead, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's hard for people to even report that, you know, they have experienced a sexual assault, whether it be rape or otherwise. You know, we kind of touched on it, but does this have a chilling effect on people moving forward?
I believe it could if it's not accurately understood. You know, accurately understood, although it's not satisfying and it actually might, you know, sort of make our stomachs turn, the law has to apply equally to everyone in order for us to believe that the law is legitimate and that it will protect us if we ever need it to. But at the same time, you know, we hear sound bites. We believe that if he's released, you know, the very first thing we think of is that, oh, there must be something about the evidence that is problematic. There must be something about, you know, someone recanted their testimony or whatever. We're not used to these like legal technicalities. And frankly, we're not very good at figuring them out. And, you know, it took the lawyers and the judges years here to work them out in this case. How do we expect, you know, lay people just listening or reading news stories to understand this? And so I think it could have a chilling effect, you know, just when we've seen some of the rewards of the Me Too movement start to pay dividends.
So we've basically gone through, I don't want to call it a technicality that got Cosby out of prison, but it was a confusing, almost unique case that, you know, his due process was violated because the path of convicting him, you know, fell because a district attorney said that they weren't going to prosecute him. He thought that that was a promise. And then in his civil suit basically said, yeah, I did all of this. You know, one victim got some amount of justice in the civil court, as you said earlier. Could there be any steps moving forward to maybe prosecute him again, or, you know, for any other reason, is this kind of the end of the line?
Well, it could be the end of the line for the Cosby case, but the Pennsylvania, you know, district attorney can always appeal to the United States Supreme Court. And of course, it's up to them whether they're going to take that case. I do think, though, that as the majority of legal experts agree, I concur, you know, that the Supreme Court would actually come to the same conclusion here. But this is actually just a one in a million case. This is one of those cases they teach in law school because it is so rare and so unique. And, you know, it sort of, I believe, was meant by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to send a message to prosecutors. And that's why they actually refused to let the prosecution try Cosby again, which was a possibility. They could have let, you know, the prosecution try him again, but without the evidence from the civil trial. In other words, without the evidence from Cosby's depositions that he gave in reliance on the promise, but they didn't do that.
So not to speculate too much, but even if this were to go to a criminal case again, even discounting the evidence that we heard in the civil case, you know, would Cosby's lawyers basically have a leg to stand on and say, hey, any jury that we pick is going to be biased here? Is that a possibility?
It is, but I don't think you could absolutely, you know, bar any prosecution of him based on that argument, because, of course, you know, the fact that he's notorious doesn't allow him to escape justice in another case brought by, you know, if another woman brought charges. The interesting fact, though, too, is that most of the 59 other women's claims are barred because of statutes of limitations. And that is also, again, frustrating because, you know, we have these caps on how long a prosecutor has to bring a case. In fact, you know, Furman brought the charges against Cosby days before the statutes of limitations expired in the Constand case in 2015. And so it's often a race against the clock.
We have about 20 seconds left. What do you think, what will we see maybe over the next couple of weeks with this?
I think we'll see, you know, some good legal analyses come out. We'll see some comments, you know, by victims who have brought charges and maybe been in similar situations where maybe the evidence wasn't there, you know, and I think that I hope that we see more support from the survivor community, the sex assault survivor community, reach out to support Constand and also to let, you know, the world know that Cosby is not innocent. This is just a technicality.
Jody, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Jody Madeira is a professor and the co-director of the Center for Law, Society, and Culture at the Indiana University Maurer School of Law. She joined us today to talk about Bill Cosby's release from prison, as she said, on a legal technicality and what might happen next.